These are the words of Jesus Christ for you, recorded in John chapter 15, beginning with verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. These are the words of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, our friend, dear friends. I have noticed that, at least while on duty or in acts of service, military people dress differently than the rest of the world. And they are properly proud of it. They think about all the details of their uniform. And they're not sloppy about it. They have all the details correct. They look at each other's uniforms in detail and encourage one another to have all those details down. And they're proud to wear that uniform. And that uniform helps them to remember who they are and what they are here to do. You military people can correct me if I'm wrong after the service, but I just don't see casual Fridays taking off anytime soon in the military, at least for active duty command. And how ridiculous that would be for any of us just to picture that. A bunch of troops running around in flip-flops and board shorts in drill or firing artillery. No! That just wouldn't be right. It's okay. It's okay. It's good that the military looks different, because what they're being called to do is different than what the rest of the world does. And it's okay. They look different in the uniform that they wear, reminds them of that, reminds everyone who sees them of what they are there to do. That's good. The Word of God that we're looking at today from the book of John is our commander-in-chief of the whole church, Jesus Christ, giving his detailed battle plan and marching orders to his troops, so to speak, to his closest band of brothers at this time who are fighting with him, his disciples. But these orders are to be passed down throughout all the ranks to all his followers, all his soldiers of the cross of all time. So this includes you and me. And what he's doing in these words is he's telling them who they are, what they are to do, and yes, how they are to dress. He's saying that they are going to go out and attack the world with a powerful weapon: love. They are to go assault the world and every corner of it with love. And love is supposed to be such a part of what they are doing, how they act, how they are, that when the world looks at them, that concept of love is almost like their dress uniform. That when the world would look at them, the world would say, yeah, they look different. You can just see it in them. You can see it in them. They wear the love of Christ like a soldier would wear a uniform on a battlefield. Just a little bit before the part of the conversation that we're jumping into here, Jesus had told his disciples, by this, that is by love, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Love would be their uniform that the world would see and say, you're different. You're on a mission. You're here to do something. And what is this love Maybe just a quick little note there. In the English language, I can say in one sentence, I love my buddy, and I love corn dogs, and I love my wife. And I can use the same word for all of those, and I really hope that that word, though, means something different, right, in each situation. We use the word love for all kinds of things, but love here, as Jesus defines it, means an unconditional commitment to do what is best for someone else, regardless of what you get in return, and regardless of how you feel about it. I'll say it one more time. An unconditional commitment to do what's best for someone else, regardless of what you get in return, regardless of how you feel about it. You Bible students, this is the one that they call agape love. This is how you are to live. And he goes on to say this in our text in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, I realize that the whole military is very particular about their uniforms, and that's good. But I've also noticed that those who serve at the Tomb of the Unknown in Arlington Cemetery seem to take this to another degree and another level. They're pursuing almost perfection in their uniform, and they're doing it out of honor. And as many of you know, part of the code of being a guard at the Tomb of the Unknown in Arlington is that for the rest of your life, you will do nothing to disgrace publicly that position that you are in. It doesn't mean you can never drink alcohol. That's a folklore. But it means you won't do anything through alcohol or other means that will disgrace that position, disgrace that uniform in a sense. Jesus says, the world will know him and will know that I belong to him by the uniform I wear, by my love. Let me ask you, that uniform ever get a little bit tight at times? Not quite seem like it's fitting? Or if your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, came to give you an inspection top to bottom, would you pass? Here's an easy thing to do. Look at the world out there and say, oh, how awful that world is. So loveless. So many unlovable people out there. I can tell you all about them. Some of them work at where I work. Some of them drive with me throughout here. I see them. Some of them live in my neighborhoods and they do awful, unlovable things. I see it on the news. What an awful, unlovable, dying world. And that's true. But today, our commander-in-chief, Jesus, says, we're going to not talk about them for a moment. We're going to talk about you. What about you? You are my friend if you do what I obey. If you love others as I have loved you. Does that describe you? Does that describe the uniform that you wear? The difficult and uncomfortable truth is, if we had a video camera inside our own homes and places of work and classrooms and cars, and it was recording all the things that we said and did and thought, would love, Christ's love, be what those who watched the tape came away summarizing our words and thoughts and actions? Here's a disturbing truth that you probably know already. Christians can be just as good as pagans at times in dressing up with things like bitterness and envy. Christians can be just as nasty at times, it seems, as the world out there and how they speak to one another, sometimes even on a Sunday, so that the same Christians who are singing hymns next to each other in service by that evening are not in the same room and are not thinking holy thoughts about one another. Christian children can be just as disrespectful at times, it seems like, and sarcastic as the children of the world. Christian spouses can be selfish. Christian employers can be stingy. Christian employees can be full of complaints and grumbling. Christians can be envy and greedy and want what's mine too and bicker and fight. And sometimes these Christians go to the same church. And I'm one of them. And so are you. Because the uniform that you were born in was sin. Cloaked in sin, covered in sin, born with a dead, sinful nature that is hostile to God. Oh, but there's effects of that. That means you're hostile to one another too. And you don't want to love Him before yourself, and you don't want to love others more than yourself. You want to love yourself more than yourself because you're just like me. And Jesus knew that, by the way, when He said these words. And He knew, because He knew what the disciples were going to do that night. What were they going to do? Bicker about which one of them would be best and greatest and get the best seat in heaven. And then they would go out and they would fall asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when He asked them to be friends who just stayed awake for an hour. But they couldn't do that. They were very tired. And then they deserted Him and they fled trying to save their own skins. They're just like us. But what happens? Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. The day after Jesus had this conversation, he gave his marching orders. He did something to change how we look in God's sight. He gave us a new uniform. He wore a disgusting outfit to the cross. There was a crown of thorns on him for a while. Eventually, they took the very clothes that he had and cast lots for it. But then they nailed him to the cross, and on that cross, he died. He died for every nasty thing you've said or at least thought about another person you were supposed to love. He died for all of my apathy to the Word and yours too. He died for all of your selfishness and greed and all of the excuses you make for it too. He died for it all, and he bled all over it. And as we're celebrating in this season, he rose. He rose. He lives. And in the waters of baptism, we get a new uniform. It says we are clothed with his righteousness. He puts the white robes of what he did over all that I've done and never should have done. And now you look spotless and perfect in His sight, so that when God the Father examines you from head to toe, He says, "Pass, perfect, you look like Christ." Your friend, Jesus, was willing to die for you. And now He lives in you through the Word, and what happens is you get changed. Here's a secret. The world around you might not change. The people that you live with, they might not change, but you've been changed. Because you've been clothed with Jesus and the Spirit lives in you. And that changes the way that the world sees you. But it also changes the way you see the world. The military takes pride in its uniforms. That was the case in December 1862 as well. Now, if you look at the uniforms that two armies were wearing who were fighting in Northern Virginia, there was a few different variations of their uniform styles, but in the end it was blue and gray, and each side by 1862 December pretty much knew who each other was, could identify each other on a battlefield. And such was the case on an awful night in December of 1862, after thousands of Union troops had been charging hills in Fredericksburg, Marais Heights. Hundreds, if not thousands, lay bleeding and dying on the fields. And as nightfall came, the Confederate soldiers sitting behind a stone wall could hear the groans of Union soldiers who were dying on the battlefield, but they couldn't do anything really about it. It was an awful, awful thing to hear. They knew that if they jumped on the other side of the wall, they might get shot. No one could really do anything, and the medics couldn't get that close to the wall. But then on that night, there's a Confederate by the name of Richland Kirkland from South Carolina who just said, "I can't take this anymore. I need to go help these men." And so he volunteered to jump on the other side of the wall and take his canteen filled with water and go find the wounded and dying and give them something to drink. Now, his sergeant didn't like this idea initially. Kirkland, he said, don't you know that you would get a bullet through your head the moment you stepped over the wall? Yes, sir, I know that, he said, but if you will let me, I am willing to try it. He let him. And Kirkland jumped over that wall, and though a few bullets whizzed around his head, he found his first Union soldier and gave him something to drink. And then the next, and the next, and before long, both sides knew what was going on. This man, who was an enemy, was giving his enemy, his friend, something to drink and saved their life. That's a moving story. And that's a story you might remember. It might even make you shed a tear, think, boy, what a great guy. I don't think that story is going to change your life. Unless you, in 1862, were one of those Union soldiers who was dying, and he came and gave you something to drink. And that water that he gave you life long enough for the next day or whenever, when the medics found you again and you were saved. I bet that would change your life forever. And you would never forget he who went to the battlefield and was willing to die so that you would live. Jesus went to the battlefield for you. He went to the cross and he died and he bled and he said, I will do this so that you will be my friend. This is what love is. Not that you loved me, but that I loved you. And that truth changes our hearts and changes our lives and changes the way that we see others around us. Because if Jesus would do all of this for us, then the world around us doesn't need to change because we've been changed already. And we can love them no matter what we get in return because the love of Christ will never go away. There were many on that battlefield in Fredericksburg who wanted to say thank you to Kirkland, but they never really got the chance. Armies move on. And, well, Kirkland went on to keep doing some fighting. He fought in the Battle of Chancellorsville, and Gettysburg, and Chickamauga. At the last of these, he and two comrades went too far in front of their unit, and he was mortally wounded while trying to cover their retreat. His last words were, I am done for. You can do me no good. Go save yourselves, and please tell Pa I died right. Kirkland was 20 years old when he died. Years later, people still wrote about what he did, longing to say thank you to him. Jesus died, but he rose. He lives now. He died and he bled for you. He's given you life. He's forgiven your sins. He's giving you heaven. Do you want to say thank you? Now you can. He's alive and he shows you how. He says, go love others as I have loved you, and don't worry about what you get in return. He says, I will cover that. I will take care of that. If I was willing to go to the battlefield, to the cross, and die and bleed for you, don't think that I won't bless you and keep you as you show love to your friends, to your enemies, to the people in your house, to the people in your work, to the people on your street. Because I have changed you. You live in me. And you wear the uniform that I have given you, priceless, washed clean, wrapped in my robes. Go. Go love. Go wear the uniform with pride. And keep following him who allows you and I to say this to one another. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. And now may the peace and the love of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.